Accession number 21109, Reel 4.
They wouldn't come too near. Devilment. Wickedness. A lot of fun.
So they remember you in Bridlington then?
Well, I don't think there's any of them living up there, no, is that? Yes, I remember at Bridlington we had a tanker which had prop shaft trouble, and I was sent into the workshop with the LAD and built it in the one street, but when your tank went in, you had to stay in this place with the LAD. And we're in there with a strange bunch of boys, and on a Sunday morning, the Sully Army come playing the band, and, you know, you wanted to lie in and change my mind after mind. You know, you get out and you shout something out the window. The Sully Army, you're great people. Yeah. Done a great job. But you say things in those days and you don't realise, you know, you're young, wild, and then you realise you made a mistake. Yeah, the great people, Sully Army. Never forget their bed and breakfast, shilling. Fantastic. And when he came out the line, Sully Army, one of the first you met.
So from Bridlington, you went on to...
Well, a cup of tea.
Oh, right, hang on, we'll stop. So you moved from Bridlington to Aldershot, I think.
That's correct.
So did you know you were sort of getting nearer the South Coast and ready to...
Yeah, it was a rough idea.
What was it like when you got down to Aldershot? Because, I mean, lots of people were moving into that area. It must have been a different
Canadians.
Buzz about it. Right, which Canadians were those? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I remember getting in a fight. And it wasn't through me, but it was Oliver. There was about three of them had him trapped in the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And
what was his first name, Oliver?
Paddy Oliver. Paddy Bill Oliver.
Bill Oliver.
Yeah, I didn't know that until 40-odd years later we traced him. Great man, Oliver. Yeah. Badly earned.
Yeah. Where was that?
Normandy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Only two of us come out.
So, Aldershot, what were you doing there? What did they have you doing? Did you do
well, in the tank park, waterproofing, and... Yes, you knew something was coming off, yes, yeah. The crew, wait a minute now, who had the mutiny there? I think the Third Mons, there was problems with the Third Mons, or the Sergeant Major, something like that. There was trouble. And then I remember going up to the tank park one day and we were marching up. You couldn't walk up and down on your own. You were marched up in the troop. And on the other side of the road coming down was a close order march. I'd done a few days in the regimental police. And I looked at the one in the middle and it was balance. He told an officer what to do. He was given an order and he told him what to do. But Valence landed and he was made up in no time. In fact, he was my tank commander crossing the Rhine.
Was he?
But a good tank commander too.
Yeah.
Knew his job. But Aldershot, yes, I was a frequent visitor of the Army and Navy Club. I did pinch a drop of petrol to keep the land because I was caught in the daughter. I got in a bit of trouble there one night. It was Oliver. A guardsman had pinched my berry. He'd lost his hat. And he stole that. So long as he had a hat to hand in, he'd got another one. And it was spotted doing it. And, well, we soon sorted that out. And then we all went, the Fifes, all was in there from the Fifes, went behind. I used to give him some petrol too from the tank park. But he had one of the problems. This bloke and Oliver said to him, put it back. because Holloway was quite a rough handful. And he said, if you don't, I'll drop you. And he didn't, so he got dropped, and then it started. Yes, we had some good nights. And then preparing, I tell you what, I had Archie and Aldershot, and we were Archie from Welding. They were underneath welding the plates, some of the plates on the Shermans. And they said, well, don't look at this. Well, we do a lot of it in the workshop, it's the next door, you know, and I've had a little flash of it since, but not as bad as that. And I was saying, we were in wooden billets just outside the main barracks. I can't remember the name of what they called the barracks. But nice buildings they were. And this night, my eyes were like if they had sand in them. And I couldn't find the door to get to the ablutions. I had to jump out of a window, go round. I couldn't open my eyes to find the door to come back in. I couldn't find the door to get out into the ablutions without jumping through the window. And cold water on my face. But I was... quite a few days, mind. And then,
was
yes.
Was the army quite strict about sort of workshop safety? And, you know, should you have been wearing a mask?
Nothing.
Really?
No. No.
Really?
Yeah. No, nothing like today. Mm. In fact, it's over there. I believe in safety. Mm. On sites, it's very... they overdo it.
This one's yours with the one sugar, all right?
Thank you very much.
Sugar
smashing, thank you very much. So, you recovered from that sort of spontaneously,
Oh, yes. Well, 3 days then we went up to Liverpool bringing tanks. You knew something was on the go then because we were bringing tanks, anything that had done over a certain amount of hours or a certain amount of miles, we were replacing them.
Right, right. With more Shermans.
Yeah. And I went to Liverpool, I never saw anything like it in my life for miles. There was like, I think it must have been, there was no autobahns like Germany, I didn't know, there's all motorways. But I remember going on to this place, it's concrete, and as far as you could see, in the centre, like a dual carriageway in the centre, were Shermans in two rows. Mm. And on the sides, well, you only seen the first row either side, but there was Shermans behind them. Thousands.
Really? And they'd come
thousands.
In?
Must have been coming to Liverpool, and we were picking them up from there, taking them down to Aldershot.
And you were driving them?
Yeah, driving them down.
Must have been quite a sight at
Conroy, sir. There were only a couple of times.
Oh, a couple of times?
And we were driving them down, not coming down on transporters.
Right. What was their top speed?
Oh, I don't know, the old show, about 20 mile an hour. They didn't like the cobbled roads, I remember that. They'd slide everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The rubber tracks were better than the cobbles, but the rubber tracks, they weren't rubber tracks really, they were steel lined, but rubber over the top. They were better in the snow and better on the cobbled roads. Or the old steel plates on the cobbled roads, you'd slide, no, but no bother at all.
So... what other, I mean, you waterproofed the Shermans, presumably.
Yes. You had big chutes at the back. I forget how many feet of water you could go in without. You were all undercover. Everybody was waterproofing on your hatch in. So that, you had the big chute, that was the only, so your exhaust, you see. I forget when we landed. What depth of water? We did go under the water.
Right.
Well, actually, the driving, I was under the water, like.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about the crew.
Yeah. I mean, was the waterproofing, was that effective?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was quite successful, the way they'd done it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. The organisation... thank you. The organisation of D-Day, no civilian could do it. No, not for me, thanks.
I mean, it must have been, I mean, it was a sort of amazing feat, wasn't it? That
fantastic.
That many people and everything ready.
The organisation was fantastic. It could never, no civilian could ever carry it out. You know, we work for a lot of big concerns. The organisation is terrible.
Yeah.
The army, they could organise it. Mind, a lot of manpower.
Yes, yeah. But easy to make a mess with a lot of manpower. You need an organisation.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what you thought of the Canadians and how much contact did you have with them?
Quite good fighters. But a bit strong, pig-headed, Canadians, mind. But
really?
Good, yeah, good soldiers. Mm. All volunteers they were too, mind, weren't they?
Mm. What was their equipment like? How did it compare
well,
to ours?
Sherman's the same.
Mm. So did you do any sort of exercises or schemes or anything with the Canadians?
No.
No.
They had better battle dresses and a better colour.
Mm.
Very dark green, the Canadians.
Uh-huh. So, you were at all shot for, I think, about something like 3 months, weren't you? Leading up to going off.
Down to Gosport.
Yeah. Do you remember the actual day you left?
No.
No. You presumably drove to Gosport.
Yeah. Down on the road, people waving, thousands of people. I can remember them doing the sides of the roads where they'd worn it away, you know. The tarmac, yeah. Pioneers rebuilding the sides of the roads where they'd given away with the weight of traffic going down.
Mm. Must have been a tremendous sight.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which day did you go in? I mean, it wasn't D-Day itself, was it? Or
no,
no.
No. We landed about 6 or 7 days after D-Day.
Right.
We were in there, I think, to hold the line in case Jerry made a breakthrough.
Right. So when you got to Gosport, I mean, you had to be made up into loads, did you? Or how was that organized?
Well, everything, even to the tanks being loaded. Because I should have been last on, first off. But then somebody's telling you to go, and I was there, and then somebody was telling me to come off, and then somebody cancelled and said, get on, bring the next one on. But they had everything to a T.
Right.
That was greasy again. Mind make a mistake. They were cobbles, and they were greasy where we were landing, going up to the ramp.
Mm.
If you went off on the side, you go straight in the dark. Mm. But of course, you were opened up. You weren't closed down then, right?
So what did you go across on?
We went across in an American. Mm-hmm. American crew, anyway.
Mm.
Tank landing craft.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big tray with your dinner, your rice pudding, a lot all on it. Near enough all into one.
It was a bit of a novelty, was it? The American ways?
Or yeah.
What did you think of the Americans, the ones you met?
I met a few in Normandy. They must have had good units, but I never saw a good one. When we went down to the Ardennes, all they wanted to do was get up and run the other way.
Right, okay.
But then we didn't get into Basra or in any of those places.
Mm.
They must have fought hard there to keep it, so you know, you can only speak what you saw yourself.
Exactly, yeah. So how long did the journey overtake? Did you more or less go straight across, did you?
Yes,
What time of day did you land?
I would say about 7 o'clock in the evening.
Uh-huh. And what could you see, you know, on the French coast?
Nothing barring the old, what do they call them now? The old windows, the shutters, what do they call them? The louvered, like, shutters on the windows.
Yeah,
you could tell you were in a foreign country, like, you know, because now you go to France, it's every day of the week, like, isn't it? You know, but in those days, if you went...
Your first time abroad.
Yes.
And everyone else, I expect.
Had I been any further in Cardiff? I don't think I had. But until I joined the forces and...
Yeah. So, unloading, how did that go? You, I mean,
on the other side,
yeah.
Normally. No bother.
Yeah. you went into quite deep water by the sound.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. Well, there were a few sandbanks. People had, they lost a few on the sandbanks there. But, yes, in fact, we had to reverse off and then go in again, getting closer. But I would say, well, we closed down before we got, we were in the tanks, closed down for half hour or more before we landed. And so really, I know there was, we went through water was above the driver's head because there was water dripped in. I said, the Yanks sealed us down. Yeah. You know, when you get in, they put the paste, bang yang we used to call it, round the hatch. Uh-huh. And I said, don't put too much. I said, because if this goes, you know, if it had happened, had gone into deep water and gone, I said, don't put too much there. I said, don't worry. I said, I'll come out through there. Don't worry about that. Yeah. So I said, don't put too much about it. But no, it was all right.
Yeah. What were your feelings? I mean, it must have been quite exciting.
Yes. Yeah. My view changed on the 26th of June. Mm. Yeah, I thought there was nothing could stop us. Mm. I was, June was a good soldier.
Work through to the 26th of June because we're probably on about the 12th of June something like that at the moment. Yeah. Okay. So could you hear fire as you came?
Oh yes. Yeah.
How
yes.
close were they? I mean, you could.
Well, a lot of planes, a lot of activity in the air. Well, on different lines, you see, because Jerry made a push. And what part of the beach? Now, we landed on Sword. But what part of the beach? Now, they tried to cut us between us and the Americans. They, in fact, they reached the something about 6 days after we landed. The 6th of June. Mm-hmm. They did get back to... Jerry said they advanced there near enough to the shore. So, what part, I don't know, but I would say the firing must have been about 3-4 miles away.
Mm-hmm. So, how organised was the beach? I mean, you had a beach mark.
Fantastic,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you came off the beach, and where did you go immediately then?
Well, we went inland, 2-3 miles. I'm trying to think of the little place we pulled into. I know there was a spotter plane in the field. And a funny thing they told us to, not say in the tank. So following morning, taking the waterproof enough, which we had a big chute at the back that came up. Right. And you would stay as to support it, you know. And what... That was work. We never took them off, the bottom part. We took the top part off. And we were taking that off, and a plane went over my head, and we were lucky we were this side of the hedge. The hedge was there, and the tank was there. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the fields, there was tanks all around it. And this plane came over, and I'm not kidding you, it wasn't 20, 30 feet above. You felt like you could touch it. You never heard it until it was over you. And it machine-gunned the rest on the other side of the field. Yeah. But, of course, it went over the top of us. Yeah. And I was up on the back of the tank. And as soon as it went over, it was firing and at all the tanks on the other side. And there were a lot of men outside, only machine-gun firing, like. Yeah. Yeah. Quite a few tanks knocked out there. Yeah. You went to have a look and... You see the bodies, some, you know, other regiments that have gone in before. Mm. You just see them, they're there, only black, and you blew them, and it's just the bone left, they blew away. And then on other parts, there'd be a person lying in the bottom of a tank, near enough welded to the floor, but the size of your fist, not much bigger.
Mm. So these... The first dead bodies you saw were in that day in the field, were they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And those were people who were killed when the plane came over, or...?
I don't know. Well, they killed anyone that day of ours with the plane.
Right.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't think they did. I think they were lucky. Everybody, mind it, it'd be quick.
Yeah.
Because all of it, I never, it was over the top of me before I heard it.
Where were these bodies then, the first ones that you saw?
Well, bodies had been left from, I don't think
when
they
the
were.
Fighting was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What effect did that have on you? Because it's
not
all, you know, no, so far in your army career, nobody had been hurt, had they, you know?
No.
No, and all of a sudden it's changed.
No, you, I think it hit you a long time after, you know, I think you worried, a bit worried yourself, like, what is going to happen, especially when you look in a tank and see bodies the size of that, and thinking, well, tomorrow you could be the same. So, no, it. I seen Jerry's, they had, bodies had been there quite a while, didn't affect me one bit.
Who were you going to fight? Were you going to fight Nazism or Hitler or Germany or Jerry's or?
Well, freedom, I think that's it. You know, you'd, I never like to be told anything. That's discipline in the army to me was the only thing. I'd rather somebody come and belt me under the chin than giving me a talking to. You know, I hate it. That I'd let go in 2 seconds.
Right. So you were fighting for your freedom from oppression by Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you did it whether you... I wouldn't say you were, I was doing it because I was told to do it. I think if a country's worth living in, it's worth fighting for. Nobody's ever asked me that before. I don't know.
I think a lot of people just went because everyone else went. You know.
Yeah.
Which is probably as good a reason as any, isn't it?
Well, I mean, no, you know, conscientious objectors. When I think the first thing they ask those is, if someone attacked your mother or something like that, you wouldn't attempt to stop them. Well, I got no time for a person like that.
Did you ever come across any conscientious objectors?
No, not in the forces.
No, or at home?
Yes. In fact, when I came in here, there was a dirty trick played on me and a solicitor down the road, and I didn't know it until after, but I did tell him. He was a country.
Really?
Yeah, plenty of money. When I came in here, I was skint. And they think you can override you. I soon put him to understand he couldn't. Because when they were pegging out a field which I was renting, I hadn't bought the farm then, and they had men putting pegs in the field, and they hadn't come and spoke to me at all, and my landlord was at fault. I caught hold of the pegs and threw them over the hedge and said, "Now, you've got 5 minutes to get out or you'll follow the pegs." I wouldn't actually say I went to the forces to fight because I was told to. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want one of those coming in here telling any of my family what to do with Jerry, like, for a start. And I think it was a... We didn't know anything. We liberated Belsen, but I didn't know anything like that had happened.
I don't
We had a lot of propaganda with us, mind, you know, because when I found out we were told that the Sherman could beat anything, I thought somebody's telling a lot of porkies here.
Up to the time that you say went abroad, I mean, had you followed the progress of the war with interest? I mean, did you?
Yes.
Yes, you listened to the news and, watched the newsreels.
Mm-hmm.
Did the army sort of inform you of how things were going, or was this?
No, I don't think so.
Off duty time, you heard what was happening.
Do you know, other than what went on in your own tank, you didn't know what happened. Unless you saw it, a certain thing, you're in a certain, you saw it. You didn't know until you pulled into Liga, you were so tired. You went out at 4 a.m, you pulled into Liga at 2 a.m. You filled up with petrol. Close your eyes, walk up and back in again. And it went on for weeks and weeks.
Yes. But even when you were in England, you followed what was on the news. But
Yes.
So you were following the progress of our boys in Africa.
Definitely. And up until when it was very bad news for a long time, you never heard of us having any success. But old Churchill, great man.
Yeah.
Great man, Winston. Bluffed his way through it.
But I suppose North Africa was the turning point, wasn't it?
Yeah,
in the
yes.
News,
yeah.
Suddenly.
Well, we were going there, of course, and of course it wasn't tanks they wanted, it was infantry. Mm. I always heard that it was Rommel Gerd I was coming and he pulled out.
Boxing wasn't up to
scratch. No, they had a couple of good boxers about it today.
Really?
Yeah. Max Schmeling was one, and Walter Neusel was another one.
Yeah.
Never heard of Walter Neusel, have you?
No.
He beat a very good Welshman 3 times.
What, not you?
Oh, no. No, different weight.
Oh, right.
I was a middleweight.
Oh, right.
I could tell you things that would make your hair stand on end. Yeah. Mm. You ever heard of a man by the name of Dick Richardson?
No.
Milkman? Heavyweight?
No.
When I came in here, it was that short of money, and you could get 20 quid to go and do 3 rounds. Mm. Oh, and I was a middleweight.
Yeah.
But they couldn't lay a bloody glove on me. I couldn't do anything about it. You know, you can't give that amount of weight away, but...
Mm. Yeah.
Yes, I do all sorts. I've seen me pay men on the yard and have nothing for ourselves. So you wouldn't see them go without you. Got to do something about it. So you went and did it.
Yeah. So it's that responsibility. That's why I asked you if you wanted to be promoted. Yeah.
I see that was there. No, I think when you got promotion, you give orders right or wrong. But if you cost somebody their lives... you'd have that on the rest of your conscience of your life, wouldn't you? So if you, and you don't get popular, you're not, although on my discharge papers, a good leader of men. See,
you led without office, didn't you? By being popular and being fun and being
I've mounted guard and you had two boys saying, look at the bullshit in Burger, and the language is a lot stronger. And the officer, did you hear anything? No, sir. Good God. And they'd go on and on and on, and I knew who it was. And the officer was saying to me, and I was only doing this as a favour, did you hear anything? No. Half a dozen times, and but I didn't put him on charge.
No, okay, I'm gonna stop you there. Len Hawkins, end of reel 4.